Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Cinephiles Extended Cut, the show where we break down the biggest stories of the week as seen in the original episode of the Cinephiles, as well as some stories that didn't quite make the cut. So if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks for more. I am your host, Matt, and we have superhero expert Justin on the panel. We have Phoebe, who is an expert of the box trolls, and Liam with the wild hair. Liam.
My return, too.
And he's back.
I've been here.
He's back.
Expert of nothing.
And I just want
to say, before you guys make me to look like a bad guy again, I bought you guys all gifts on my vacation, so watch yourself.
I was actually just going to say this to our audience. He came back with lovely keychains for all of us, little Twin Peaks. I know it's not movie. Oh, you know what?
There is a movie.
There is a movie, so it's all good.
Yeah,
all good.
We're safe.
So guys, welcome. Let's start things off with our little segment, What You Watching. Let's throw it to Liam. We missed you. We want to know what you've been watching across the country and down south, so let us know.
Well, I didn't watch this down south.
You went down south?
Yeah, well, it's kind of south.
Oh, Seattle.
Okay. Seattle, Portland.
Anyway.
I watched one of the greatest cinematic trilogies of all time. In
three movies.
Three movies. Oh. Over the span of this week, I watched the Spy Kids trilogy.
Oh, no. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Those movies are ridiculous. They're the greatest kids movies ever, I think. I mean, like, it almost feels like those movies are directed by a child because, like, they just have everything in them. Like, I remember watching them as a kid, they were like, I want to be those kids, you know? I don't know.
Okay.
I caught the second one with you, and, like, you're right. And it's funny that it's just, like, Robert.
Wait, you caught, you watched, watched them with him?
Justin was, finally, I didn't watch a movie by myself.
Watched Spy Kids 2. Delightful motion picture.
Oh, you missed the first one. The first one is the best one, I think.
I'll have to revisit
you, revisiting them all, like, 10 years later is crazy because, like, you realize how many corners they cut making those movies, especially the third one. At the end, there's just, like, these shots of every character in front of a green screen, but it's only, like, one or two characters, so you could tell nobody was there
at the same time.
At the same time. That's they hilarious. Just shot them all differently.
Wow.
Like, the third movie almost feels like nobody was making it together. It was just whoever was on set that day.
I feel like we're talking about this way too much.
Nobody's
like, I want to watch Spy Kids 10 years
later.
It's
on Netflix
now, man. See how
they're
my experience changes.
Except for the third one, because they probably couldn't get it in 3D anymore.
Yes, that's
all. All fun facts. I just want to point out it's hilarious that you're talking about that on a show called Cinephiles. I mean,
why?
Because do cinephiles watch Little Kitty?
It's Robert Rodriguez, man. He's one of the greatest American.
Let's end
Say
it on
no
that.
More. Say
Let's
no more.
End it on that. Phoebe, what have you been watching?
Well, this week I spent a lot of time watching Seinfeld, which is not a film, but I also got the chance.
You had one job, and it was to watch a movie, Phoebe.
I know. It's been a
Seinfeld.
It's been a tough week.
It's been a tough week.
But yes, I did rewatch Box Trolls, if anybody was wondering.
Oh, you talked about that last week.
I talk about
it
every week, if you notice. It's a great film. That's all I have to say about that.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't think I've... You're the first person I think I've met that has seen that movie.
That's fine.
That's fine.
It doesn't mean that I'm the only one who watched it. Yeah. We're out there.
So I strategically made sure we talked to Justin last because he saw perhaps the biggest crossover event in cinematic history, or just in history generally.
Yeah. Saw the Infinity War. Guys, it's...
With the Avengers. You have to say Avengers.
It's a doozy, this movie. For anyone who's out there who's seen it, you know what I'm talking about. The spoilers
are
out there.
Out there on the making their rounds on the interwebs. Avoid at all costs.
Liam and I read them immediately.
That's crazy to me.
Immediately.
Because that one article that was out there that
was
just
the Forbes.
What was it, the Forbes article?
They were
article?
Trying to spoil it for everyone for some reason.
And you just willingly read it.
Well, yeah.
Because you hate those movies.
When Manny came back from seeing the press screening, I immediately was like, tell me everything that happened. I don't know why. I just love spoilers.
It's true.
I love to know what's going to happen.
Shout out to our director, Manny, who saw it, 2 days early, the little bugger?
Good
for
you,
Manny.
Yeah, I couldn't even look him in the eyes after he saw it. I was afraid that he would psychically transfer over a spoiler somehow.
I don't think I've ever seen someone so... transfixed by a movie that when Manny came into the room and everyone was crowding around
everybody
him.
Everybody was
what happened? Was it good? Yeah, last night it literally took me a while. I watched, I was watching Atlanta afterwards and I was still thinking about Avengers. I was just like, come on, that's crazy. That's insane. Anyways,
I just see
it. Can't wait for the sequel.
The text I got from you after you got out of the theater last night was pretty crazy. You were like, WTF. And I was like, was it good? And it's like, yeah, good, but. WTF,
No, seriously, WTF. It's
just
wild.
Just three letters.
It's
fun
wild.
Former star of the Cinephiles, Jem, Maybe you guys will remember Jem. He also went on Facebook, used three letters to describe it, but it was W-O-W for wow. Yeah.
Whoa. So,
lots of three letters being spewed around.
Did you see it by yourself?
No, I went to see it with some friends.
Like normal people. like normal people. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I went to the movie theaters for the first time like 2 weeks ago, and it was quite.
You went by yourself for the first time?
You went to the theater for the first time?
That's a weird segue.
It was alone. We were talking about
what movie. I'm on a movie podcast. I should go to the theater once at least. Yeah.
It was Annihilation that I went to see it alone. Yeah.
That must have been a trip.
It was scary. Yeah.
scary.
So that was what you watching. Thanks, guys, for sharing that. But now it's time to get into the real deal of the show. It's the three top stories of the week. We're going to jump into that right now. And we're back to talk about the three biggest stories of the week. And we're going to start things off with a new trailer that dropped. The new... What's so funny, guys? Do you think the new Venom trailer is that funny?
Yes.
Let's discuss. The internet, I don't know, seems a little mixed on it. A lot of the comments I'm seeing are like, oh, it looks so good. But then a lot of the other comments I'm seeing are like, this looks garbage. Like, it's super bad. A lot of the comments I'm seeing are saying like, oh, it's really bad writing. The infamous pronunciation of symbiote.
Symbiote.
Jenny Slate, come on, what are you doing? Symbiotes.
And also, it doesn't bother me, but some people are having a hard time getting into Tom Hardy's New York accent. So those are some things.
It's all of it. It's all of it. It's not just his accent. It's like the way that he pronounces words. It's like the first time he's ever spoken. It's so weird.
See, that's what a lot of people are saying, that he kind of sounds like a 12-year-old boy. And I'm like, yeah, but that's just like how some New Yorkers talk.
You work
you know?
For an evil person.
The delivery of that line is incredible.
What's the one that I really liked when he's walking? He's like, you will only hurt bad people. Yeah.
But that's, I think, so is just weird. Like bad cutting of the trailer. Because it just seems like there's certain words that clearly aren't the end of a sentence, but are being used as like
but
an
then
end
just
of
like
a sentence.
Choose different lines. Like if that's the best you have, then like what, I don't know. I think if like if you're thinking this is a good trailer, like what do you expect out of a movie?
It's not a good trailer. It's not a good trailer, but I still hold out hope that the movie will be.
Venom looks really sick.
See?
He looks sick.
He does.
That was the one shot of the trailer where I was like, okay. Like,
but are you thinking that that's probably the end of the movie?
No,
like, I'm not even. I think he's barely gonna be Venom in this movie. I honestly believe that it's gonna be like he becomes Venom like
so
at the end.
Let me ask you guys this: do you think this trailer is a fair representation of how the movie will be? You know, like the trailer, I think we can all agree wasn't the greatest. But do we think the movie as well is not gonna be the greatest? Or
yes,
yes, it's gonna be great. No, you heard it here first. Phoebe thinks it's gonna be amazing.
No, it's gonna be bad. I don't know. I after seeing this trailer, like the first one was like. Just okay. We never saw Venom. Now we see this one, and it's so bad. I laughed so hard watching it. I cannot see how this movie would.
Yeah,
be
we
good.
Were ripping it. This
we
have,
were laughing so hard.
We have a group chat, and these guys were hammering it.
Yeah, we were ripping it
all day. First, all day
I started
long.
Feeling bad. I was like, oh my god.
I saw the trailer for the first time like the night it came out, and I went to bed thinking like that was like I kind of forgot about it, and I was like, but then like the morning after, I was like, wait, did I remember that right? As being like all those. Crappy lines being spoken.
It's like a fever dream or
you
something.
Suck.
Fever dream.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's the best. You suck.
But that's also one of the scenes where I think like clearly that's like not the
actual
end
line
of the sentence. But it's
I also
like,
think that's
like,
probably not the actual line. I'm sure if it's rated R, he probably says something different.
Though the scene that's really cut weirdly is when he's doing the interview with Riz Ahmed. And it's just like there's like eight lines that he seem like they were cut all together, and it's just the weirdest delivery. And then at the end he's just like, is that a threat? And it's like, what is this scene?
And it's
what's
more
going
like,
on?
Is that a threat?
He's like peeking over all the arms. Is that a threat?
I think I want to go back to the idea that like that he only becomes Venom at the end, because I think that first trailer, like that's a long trailer, and for them to have that much footage of him not being Venom, I think.
But I'm also wondering if that's just like a marketing thing where they want to like hide it as much as possible
until
the last second.
They did the
second.
Same thing in Spider-Man 3. In Spider-Man 3's marketing, they really tried. There was like one shot of Venom, and it's the transformation shot.
Yeah. And that was like he's only Venom at the end of the movie in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I feel like this we might see something similar to like the way that the Hulk was handled in like The Incredible Hulk, where maybe there's like three scenes of Hulk, but it's mostly Bruce Banner. I feel like it'll be a similar thing where we maybe get three set pieces where he gets to be Venom, but for the most part, it's going to be Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock dealing with it.
Yeah. I'm calling it now that like people are going to be disappointed with how little he's in.
I think you're probably
right. But that's what a lot of the comments are also saying, too. They're like, we want a Venom movie, not a Tom Hardy movie. You know?
To see a movie, like a whole movie of Venom running around being Venom, I feel like that would get tiring. Like, I think you kind of have to have like
that human element. But that was like the highlight of the trailer was Venom. It was like the coolest part of the trailer. Like, that's what people want to see. I mean, obviously it's not going to be like the whole movie, but if it only happened at the end, like, what's the point? Like, it's just a Tom Hardy movie.
What did you guys think of the whole kind of like the Spider-Man-esque attack in his like apartment when he's using the symbiote to like attack all
goo
these
comes out of his back.
Went, like, I don't.
Yeah, that was
goo,
weird.
Goo comes out of his back, like he attacks someone with his back.
Gross.
I thought that was kind of silly.
I have another question for you guys. You might be able to help me a little bit with this, Justin, because you're the comic book expert here. But from my understanding, Venom, the reason why his suit looks like Spider-Man is because he's mimicking Spider-Man. Right. The reason why the logo on the front is like Spider-Man's is because, you know, he's seen him and he's trying to copy him. We haven't seen Spider-Man in any of these trailers. Right. And a lot of the comments I'm seeing on like the trailer and online are like, why does his suit look like that? He hasn't even seen Spider-Man yet. It doesn't make any sense. So it's like,
we haven't
what do you
seen,
think? What do
so
we think of that?
The way that it works in the comics is that Spider-Man bonds with the alien symbiote. Yeah, see? Now we're just going to adopt that pronunciation.
You're like a professor now. It's like, well, okay, class, here we go.
Symbiote. Well, if you refer to issue number 300 of The Amazing Spider-Man, the first appearance of Venom.
Is that actually the 300?
Yes.
Whoa, wow.
That's impressive.
So, anyways, wow. that was literally just to spew a number. I didn't actually have to bring up that issue. But anyways, Spider-Man joined with the alien costume first. It adapted to his spider abilities, so it kind of had like a cool
insignia.
It happens in Spider-Man 3, exactly. Mm-hmm. It has the cool white insignia. Then Spider-Man realizes that this suit has a mind of its own. He separates from it. It joins up with Eddie Brock, who has his own reasons for hating Spider-Man. Both the symbiote and Eddie hate Spider-Man. They join together. And Venom has the white insignia on his chest, the same one that Spider-Man had when he wore the suit.
Yeah.
In the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, which is like a different continuity, Venom isn't an alien. He's more of a... kind of similar to what they're doing here. It seems like he's more of an experiment, something that they like kind of created on purpose. This seems like it's mixing both. It came from a planet, but then experiments kind of created it in some sort of way.
Interesting. Okay.
But he doesn't have the insignia because it kind of doesn't make sense in that way. Yeah. And I think they're going to do the same thing with this movie, is that they're just going to do all black. And it seemed like there was some white hints or like white veins, but I don't think they're gonna do a spider insignia.
Yeah
because it just wouldn't make sense without the context of like it was with Spider-Man first.
Interesting. I think the cast of this, I'm like really I'm mostly disappointed because the cast is like so great.
Yeah,
but like
I feel the
and
same
I'm like
way.
Why are you doing this movie that like is obviously not?
And see, that's what I also think too, like a lot of people are kind of like poking fun at Tom Hardy's performance in this trailer in the movie, but I just feel like if this were in any other movie, like let's say it was like a New York drama or something and he had that accent, I don't think we'd be kind of like poking fun at it as much, you know? It's just the fact that this trailer isn't good at all. We're just kind
of
like
it's another
poking
thing to
fun
make fun
at
of,
everything.
I think they've got to be hiding something. Like I think like there's got to be some reason that this trailer is so bad, you know? Like it's either like they don't have enough footage ready.
They purposely made
they don't have enough like CGI ready or like... I don't know.
They don't want to show the CGI scenes, maybe?
Or, like, they're cutting around the fact that it's rated R because, like, they have to make it... That's what I thought it was. Like, they're cutting around all these F-bombs, and that's why it sounds so weird.
That's a,
so make
that's
a Red Band trailer. I don't know.
That's what I think.
That's a good point. Yeah. They haven't released one, right?
No.
Maybe
so, like, it may not even be rated R.
The Deadpool trailer that came out, like, a few weeks ago, that one was, like, riddled with swearing. And nobody...
It just seems like there's something, like... For them to release a trailer this bad, like, I don't know. There's got
to
be something.
If it's an R-rated movie, you should own up to it. It's true.
Yeah.
And just drop, like, a Red Band trailer right
so
away like Deadpool does.
It's so noticeably awful.
Yeah.
Somebody should be held accountable for that trailer.
Yeah.
I,
they're probably
that's
fine.
All I'm
going to
say. Yeah.
I'll say it again. I'm holding out hope. I have faith in Tom Hardy.
I do, too. I feel like he wouldn't do a movie like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, we'll see.
And, like, Riz Ahmed's in it. Michelle Williams is in it.
Great cast.
Jenny Slate's great.
Jenny Slate's
even, like, the director, like, Ruben Fletcher, I think his name is, who's done some pretty good things like Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less, which I thought was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap things up with the Venom trailer. Quentin Tarantino, this is the next story, guys. Quentin Tarantino, his new movie, Once Upon a Time in America, we know the details about it. It's going to take place in 1969 Los Angeles. I'm going to cover the Manson family murders, as well as kind of like the dip in the popularity in Western films. Mm-hmm. This is like new Hollywood kind of taking over. At CinemaCon this week, Tarantino was with Leonardo DiCaprio, and they announced that the movie was going to be a lot like Pulp Fiction, which is pretty interesting. So, I mean, Quentin Tarantino is a great director. I think it doesn't take much to sell his movies, but the fact that he's referencing that this movie is going to be a lot like what many people consider his best movie ever, do we think this is going to help the film in general?
I mean, yeah. I think, like, that's, like, I think it's all hype, him saying that it's going to be, like...
Oh, for sure.
Like, what else is good? Like, I don't know. This is going to be my next Pulp Fiction is, like, that's, like, the surefire way to get people, like...
But not even necessarily from just, like, a popularity standpoint, but, like, do we actually think that it's going to take part in, like, three different stories, you know? Because it's, like, structured in a very unique way.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's, like, what does he mean? Like, which part of Pulp Fiction is this going to be, like, is it going to be, like... branching timelines and like characters appearing in each other's storylines that are separated.
See, I kind of hope it's like that.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. But I feel like, he knows what he's doing when he's invoking Pulp Fiction, and he knows what he's doing, especially coming off of two Western movies where people are kind of like wanting to see him go back to like the gritty like
That's
crime
a good point.
Stuff.
Yeah,
totally. I feel like he's like, baby, I'm back. Pulp Fiction, remember that? I did.
Like,
that
if he's
movie.
Gonna wanna, if he's gonna hype his movie, he's not gonna be like, this movie's gonna be a lot like Death Proof. It's gonna be
no, exactly.
He's like obviously gonna go for his best movie.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I guess another question is, if he wants to really kind of amp it up, is it going to be playing in 70mm? Oh,
probably.
Probably. I mean, he shoots all his movies on film.
Just want to point out that the person who resurfaced that trend was Paul Thomas Anderson.
And I don't think with the master,
and no one gives like he doesn't get enough credit for that. Like when that happened, that was a major thing. Like, who makes 70mm movies anymore?
Yeah, but it wasn't exactly like. Like, there's a difference between Paul Thomas Anderson doing it for The Master and I don't know if Quentin Tarantino with Hateful Eight. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot more people seeing Hateful Eight than there is seeing The Master.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And then, like, now, I don't know what the production was like, but then you see things like Ready Player One is showing in 70mm, and it's just like, can you believe that that's the legacy of The Master, is that it brought back this, like, giant film format? It's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. I'm interested that... Quentin Tarantino's doing a little tip of the hat to his buddy Robert Rodriguez with Once Upon a Time in
totally.
Mexico.
You've been watching too much Spy Kids, Liam.
I can't wait to do a double feature now.
Oh boy.
Isn't a hot take to say that I didn't like The Hateful Eight and that I'm like,
no.
Elaborate.
I really didn't enjoy it. Like, when I went to go see it, it was a weird experience. I was like a heckler in the theater, so it was really like scary.
You were heckling?
There was a heckler. I was not
the
heckler.
I ever went to a movie to heckle it, so it was interesting.
I just found it was just like gratuitous and with its violence and like not in like a good way, not in like a fun,
especially
like,
towards
way.
Women too. Like,
yeah, it was really, really brutal. not great for me. So I don't know. I mean, like, I'm really excited about the subject matter of this upcoming film. Like, I think that it's like so interesting, and it's like, it's weird because we're seeing like a resurgence of films that are set in like that sort of like, you know, like the end of the golden era of Hollywood or whatever, and sort of like the new Hollywood coming in and replacing it. So I'm really excited about that and the Charles Manson sort of themes as well. I find that really interesting. But The Hateful Eight like really, really let me down. And I don't know.
I agree. I mean, I thought it was a fine movie, but compared to like
the
rest of his filmography, it was not good.
Because Django Unchained for me was like incredible. And like Inglourious Basterds is like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
And then,
Oh my god!
Yeah, no. Anyway,
it's the only Quentin Tarantino movie that I've only seen once.
Which one?
Same.
The Hateful Eight. Yeah,
I saw it in theaters, and I was like, that was exhausting. And I did like it.
Jackie
it's not
Brown.
Like
you've seen that more than once.
Dude, Jackie Brown is incredible. Mm. You should revisit it. Honestly, Jackie Brown is an underrated.
Go revisit my old friend Jackie Brown.
Yeah, go say hello.
It was almost
I'm in
like,
the neighborhood.
I know someone named Jackie Brown.
I don't believe
no, you.
No, you
don't. Yeah, exactly.
And then I think, like, just to sort of speak what I was saying about The Hateful Eight earlier, about, like, the gratuitous violence, then you watch something like Kill Bill, mm-hmm. where it's, like, it's super violent, but it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's stylized. It's purposeful. Whereas the other one, it was sort of just for, like, the shock value of it. And I think that was where I had my issue with it, because I'm not opposed to violence in film at all. Like, I love it, in fact. a lot. But, yeah, I just found that very strange.
Yeah. That's fair.
Any future filmmakers out there, Phoebe loves violence in movies. So just keep killing people in movies and
she'll show
Phoebe
up.
Phoebe will show up.
I'll be there.
It's funny. We did a little review on the season one premiere of Westworld 2. Check that out. That's our little plug for that. But all her favorite moments were just like the most dark and disturbing things. I was like hiding it, but inside I was like, oh,
her favorite movie is The Box Troll. So
it's a murderous film. Yeah.
Truly disturbing stuff in there.
Okay, guys. Are you ready for this next one?
No.
I know Justin is.
I'm born ready.
Actually, are you? You might still be shook.
I'm very shook, but I'm still ready.
We're teasing this real good here, guys. The number one story of the week is Avengers Infinity War. Obviously, it premiered this week, and it looks like it's going to set the box office on fire, if you didn't already know that it would. But
someone
it's looking
call 911 because the box office is about to be on fire.
It's gonna be on fire, but it's supposed to make upwards of 250 million smackers opening weekend. And just to give you some context as to how much that is, the current first place opening weekend right now is Star Wars: The Force Awakens, which sits at 247 million. Second place is the sequel Last Jedi at 220 million, and then third is another Chris Pratt movie. Jurassic World, $208 million. Yeah.
Good film.
So it looks like it's going to be huge. And it has to be because it's also, fun fact, the second most expensive movie ever made at $300 million. It's tied with a few others, one of them being Pirates of the Caribbean. I forget which one.
One of those.
Isn't it On Stranger Tides?
Yeah.
Well, the number one movie.
On Stranger Things.
The number one movie is one of the Pirates movies, the most recent one.
I think they're all like 1, 2, 3, 4 or something like that. Yeah. It's like crazy.
So what do we think of that, guys? Actually, let me ask you this question. This is clearly, like we joke about, it's like the biggest crossover event in history.
Chris over event.
There are
Chris Evans.
Captain America, man, the leader.
Yeah.
The leader. I thought I pronounced something wrong. I was like, I said Chris over?
Oh, I got scared. Never mind.
So, I mean, this is clearly like, honestly, like even if you're not a huge fan of superhero movies, Liam, and myself, but I mean, it's very hard to deny that this is probably like one of the most anticipated movies in like the last 10 years. Even it's like this is huge. This is a huge deal.
If this wasn't the biggest, highest grossing movie of all time,
they failed.
Because they've been building to this for 10 years. Yeah. So like, there's no way.
Yeah, I agree. Which leads to this question: is this the pinnacle? Like, is this the highest point the MCU will reach in terms of movies? They still have the sequel coming out. Maybe that'll be it.
Yeah.
We have seen dips in sequels, though. But basically, I guess, like, after this is all wrapped up, is it going to still stay at the top of kind of this whole, you know, movie spectrum? Or are we going to start to see it slow down?
I think
Justin's struggling internally to answer this question.
To answer this question without diving into spoilers. By the way, if you want our spoiler review, that's coming out.
We're talking spoilers,
so you can check that out on Mojo Talks.
There's also a spoiler-free review for those who don't want spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah, check that one out.
And, like, I don't know, man. It's just so insane, the stuff that happens in this movie, that I feel like from here, the only way to go is up.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, are you sure?
I do think
because
so,
because I feel like so high.
I was going to say, like, where do you even go?
I agree.
For movies, like, for big budget movies from here, it's like just more A-list actors. Like, how do you get bigger than this
movie? Because
it's like 20 lead characters in this movie and like probably so much stuff going on screen. Like, how do you make a bigger movie that's gonna wow people anymore?
That's
man,
the question.
They've been doing it in comics for a long time. Yeah. Elevating
someone. Really, I was just saying, I was agreeing with you. What?
Movies
are also cynical.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Movies are a different beast.
They are a different beast, but the thing that's amazing about this movie, and we talk about this in a review, is the Russo brothers have created a movie that feels like a comic book crossover in the truest sense of the word. And like, if that can continue, if they can continue to take that dynamic and mm-hmm. adapt it to these big stories, I don't see a ceiling for it, because they've made it work with, I can't even count the amount of characters in this movie, but I didn't feel like any of them were underserved. I really did feel like all these characters had a clear purpose. There was no one where I was like, well, you kind of left him at home. And there were characters, I won't spoil anything, that were kind of left on the sidelines. But even like the ones that appear on screen all had a reason to be there. And I feel like if you hand over the reins to the Russo brothers, you'll be in good shape, because they seem to know what they're doing when it comes to making what works in comic books work on the big screen.
I think it helps that there's two of them.
Even exactly. Even with the potential of some of the bigger superheroes potentially not returning?
I think...
we'll avoid spoilies.
Marvel's bench is so deep that
they're going deep into the playoffs.
They have a lot of
bench warmers on.
Yeah, no, their bench is deep enough that like there's so many good supporting characters, and I think that without getting into spoilers, the characters that we want to see will always carry the MCU, and that's all I'm gonna say.
I guess there's like in the comics. Comics. I think there's so many universes that they still could explore. Right. Mm-hmm. I know we were talking yesterday about. Which apparently aren't good. I didn't know that. But like the Marvel zombies, like imagine they're brought fine. Those in they're, and like yeah. they brought those in and like, I don't know. I feel like there's just like, there's so many universes of characters that I'm still learning about that like, mm-hmm. I'm sure they could go and make interesting movies out of them. I don't know.
Okay. So maybe you're a little on the fence then. I think it's going to dip a little bit. Phoebe, what do you think?
No, I don't think a franchise like this will always have momentum. I think it's just sort of like they make this movie and then they make the sequel and everyone wants to know what happens next. And like with the knowledge that I have of the film from, you know, spoilers.
The spoilies.
Obviously, yeah. I know that, you know, like people are just going to come back for more. Like it's just you're going to want it.
So do we think that it's going to fall into the kind of same pitfalls as like the Western, you know, because the Western was like the biggest movie genre for so
that's
long.
That's what
in
I'm
Hollywood,
thinking is like when
and
does
it
this
eventually
end?
Died.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like when, like is the superhero movie just gonna be the biggest thing forever? Like is this just like our reality now where if something doesn't have a superhero in it, it's like not.
I mean, but I guess that's like what you were saying, Liam, before is just like there's so much source, and you too, Justin. There's just so much source material to kind of like. Grab from so there is and it's not exactly the same as Westerns.
At its core, it still has a basis in being superhero movies, right? It's like
yeah,
but it's Logan is a Western basically, but it's like it's still rooted in being a superhero movie.
But I think the genre isn't a genre. It's so versatile that like superhero movie or comic book movie can mean a number of things. Like yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy is a superhero movie that doesn't feel like any other because it's it's mostly a sci-fi movie. So I feel like. As long as these movies can kind of exist in umbrellas of other genres, then it will never get a tiresome to an audience. Because the thing about Westerns is there's always familiar elements, but you'll never see like the sci-fi. Well, yeah, you do see it, but like it's not like you'll see like the horror Western or there's the Western genre is not.
Yeah, you do see horror Westerns. Wasn't Bone Tomahawk a horror Western?
Oh, interesting.
But I see your point.
Gotcha.
I totally
but
see your
the
point.
Era, got him. But like the noir too. Like the noir had established elements that were always repeatable. And I think some Marvel movies are guilty of that. I think Doctor Strange and Iron Man have way more in common than Marvel Studios wants to admit in terms mm-hmm. of like the
yeah,
beats.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, you're delivering to an audience something that looks and feels completely different, so fatigue is gonna take longer to set in. I don't think it'll never happen, but it'll take longer.
I think it's interesting to think of it as just being like back in like the golden age of Hollywood, it was just adapting books,
mm-hmm.
and then this is basically the same thing, right? It's like mm-hmm. the comic books are now like the new like big thing to just adapt, right?
And that's why it's not to dovetail this conversation too much into Star Wars, but I think that's why Star Wars is such an important franchise, because it is purely a cinematic franchise. It's not based on anything. I mean, it is. It's like influenced by like everything, right?
Yeah, right.
But it's like there's no book that it was based on or comic book. It's like it's Star
it's
Wars.
Like one
Star
guy's
Wars
vision
movies.
Of
yeah.
One movie that was coming out. Yeah.
So I mean, I guess we'll see how much longer the shelf life is for Marvel. But yeah. I mean, if we do know one thing, it's that Marvel and Disney have a great business model. and they know how to capitalize from it.
They're printing money, basically.
It's still working, yeah. So those were the three biggest stories of the week, guys. Thanks for listening. We're going to take a little quick break, and then we're going to come back to a little segment called The Cutting Room Floor. These are the three stories that didn't quite make the cut for the original show. So we'll get to that soon. Welcome back to the Cinephiles Extended Cut. So if you want to check out the show as an audio podcast, we're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher for all you guys listening. Now it's time for The Cutting Room Floor, and Phoebe just cannot wait to get started. She's bursting at the seams here. All right. The first one we're going to talk about is a horror movie that's taken the movie world by storm recently. It's called A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski and starring wife and amazing actress Emily Blunt. They're already talking about a sequel, guys.
Yep.
And we have members of the panel who have seen it. Is this a good idea, or does this just reek of cash grab? What do we think?
It's a spoilies. Weird
one. Open-ended, or?
It's open-ended in the sense where it's like an ambiguous ending, yes. But I don't think it lends itself to, like, I think I would prefer to just see it open and closed.
Mm.
So, Liam, you're a big Cloverfield guy. You love Cloverfield.
Huge. Oh, there was some... Sorry, never mind.
Because, you know, people are making the connection of, like, oh, this feels like a Cloverfield movie in that, like, it has, like, that weird genre element. They're doing something different, and ultimately it's, like, centered around monsters and stuff like that. I think that's a great model to follow if you're going to do a sequel to this. Like, take the concept at its core.
And
like,
then just tell a different story.
Tell a different story. Let's follow different characters. Let's not return to the same... Like, they probably will, but I'd rather see a movie set in that universe, set in that world that they spent so much time, like, meticulously building the rules to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a different story, like, a different experience.
I think the ending of the first one really implies, it's setting up the most obvious sequel idea, exactly. Which it's, like, a little too obvious, and that's why I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I think that is, like, a really interesting idea of just having, because, like, you... At certain points in the movie, you get, like, an idea that there's other people, like, surrounding them that are going through, this, like, a similar thing. And I think that would be super interesting.
Mm.
an idea for a sequel that they originally had for Cloverfield, where it's, like, you see other people in the first movie where they're, like, going through, like, similar, like, distress.
Experiencing the same event, but from a different perspective. I think that would be really cool.
I think it would be awesome.
Or even a prequel where we see, like, the how the world unraveled, or, like, the arrival of those things.
Ooh,
maybe
that's
a little on the nose, but I feel like people
would... I don't know if I want to see that.
Yeah, people would still come out and see that.
Phoebe, anyways, Phoebe, you had some questions.
May I speak now?
No.
Liam,
it's a quiet place. We're all supposed to be quiet.
It's 2018. I was going to say, it feels like a cash grab to me. They're not talking about a sequel. It's already starting. They're already starting to get the ball rolling.
Well, there you go. There you go.
That is really quick. The movie, I'm pretty sure, is still in theaters.
Oh, yeah. It's only been a few weeks.
And, I mean, like, I haven't seen the film, so I'm, like, ignorant in that aspect. Like, I couldn't say whether or not they left it open for a sequel, but it just feels, like, so forced to me. And I think that, like, studios, like, base their whole model around, like, franchises and turning everything into franchises and making, like, sequels to everything so that, like, you have, you know, like, the appeal of the first movie to bring audiences back.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't they just make one good movie and just, like, leave it? It's
sure.
just its own
yeah.
entity. And, like, I don't understand why we need a Quiet Place sequel. Like, yes, it's like, you know, are they going to make a Get Out sequel?
No, because
it's like, it was an amazing film. It stood on its own and it doesn't need a sequel.
I 100% agree with that. I think, like, the reason that A Quiet Place is so popular was because it was, like, an original idea, and, like, he had the freedom to, like, run with it.
And
they're
gonna tarnish the legacy of the film by being like, oh, here it is again. And, like, you know, another thing that I read was that John Krasinski is not confirmed to be even coming back as a director. And I feel like the whole charm of the first movie was that this is someone who's, like, coming to horror with, like, a clean slate, and, like, you know, he did an amazing job. And, well, if he's not coming, what's the point? Like, what's the point of making a second one?
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, like we had mentioned before talking about this on the show, I mean, the producer is
Michael Bay,
right?
Loves
and he
sequels.
Is famous for...
Explosions.
Explosions, yes, but I was trying to lead into sequels and just franchises.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I mean,
think that's what I like so much about the Cloverfield franchise is that, like, they are basically just, at least for the first, I guess the first two sequels, they were basically just taking scripts that, like, they thought had potential and could find a way to tie it to this franchise.
Yeah.
And they did that, like, they did exactly that. So, like, they were at their core original ideas, and, like, they probably wouldn't have been made otherwise, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they probably wouldn't have been given the funding, but, like having that name attached is giving them the, like, the ability to be able to be made.
I have a question. What's a better name for a sequel? A Quieter Place or Quiet Places?
A Very Quiet Place.
A Very Quiet Place.
Another Quiet Place.
Another Quiet Place? Yeah, there's a lot of potential for sequel names.
I saw some pretty good memes revolving around that movie that we could talk about later because I don't want to get into spoilers, but
fair.
Oh, okay. Well, we have some great suggestions. We'll be sure to send them off to who is it? Paramount? Paramount? Yeah, Paramount. So, Paramount, if you're listening, those are our titles.
I got the execs on speed dial.
Mr. Paramount.
Yeah.
If you're watching.
So, next story. Jessica Jones. It's a TV show, but. It is a TV show. It is.
Netflix.
Netflix, Marvel. Probably the. Is it the best Marvel TV show out there?
Season one is certainly up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, director of that show, S.J. Clarkson, she's been announced that she's going to direct the newest Star Trek, Star Trek IV. And this is history because she will be the first female to ever direct anything for this franchise. So there's
even TV,
there's been a lot of movies in this franchise.
Even for TV,
I don't want to say yes, but all the articles I've read have said franchise. So I mean, I guess I would imply.
That's TV. That's crazy.
No, I think they mean the movie franchise. I would have a hard time.
I'm gonna
we'll deep dive into that
when I get back.
We'll look into that, but I mean, definitely film at least.
Yeah.
So what do we think of that? I mean, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty
first
cool.
ever.
Is this the one that Tarantino was attached to, like to write, or is this a different one?
So I. Heard that there's actually two movies in the works.
I don't think this is the Tarantino one.
No, that could be in future plans though. I don't think they've ruled that out. So this is just like the follow up to Into Darkness, I believe the last one was.
No, Beyond.
You're right. Beyond was after Into
Darkness.
And
that's where the other Chris comes into play. Chris
Pine.
There you go. There you go.
The best Chris.
The best Chris.
I don't know.
I agree.
About that.
I agree.
He's attached, tough. I assume, still.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think. You know what would be interesting if they made the jump to the Next Generation? We had a recast Picard. That'd be cool. Because they've done three movies with.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I feel like they've done three movies with the original Spock and Kirk cast. People love the Next Generation stuff. It'd be cool to see them revamp that. Who knows if they'll even do it? I mean, why waste the potential of Chris Pine if you have him attached to your movie?
Good point.
I'd like to see a different perspective on this. I think having a woman come in and present what she thinks is the best direction for this franchise is a really smart decision on their part.
Yeah.
Phoebe, what did you think when you first heard the news?
I'm excited. I love women. I love when they direct big films. And I think that what's really interesting is that the Star Trek franchise it's sort of not that only men are attracted to it or whatever, but I feel it's generally a male sort of demographic. I don't
know
if you agree or disagree with me.
That's fair.
But I think that what is a really, really good strategy for these big franchises to attach female directors is that more women will want to see the film. You know, it's
sort of just
women supporting women is a huge thing in our day and age and in pop culture. And I think that that's going to attract a lot more female viewers. So good on them. I'm going to go see it. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so that wraps up the cutting room floor, guys. We'll quickly talk about some new releases. Basically, all the movies were just way too afraid to go up against Avengers Infinity War.
They cleared out.
A lot of movies just, we're going to push it back because it's better for us.
I feel pretty moved up a week. They were just like, I don't want a deal.
That's it. The only one, well, not the only one. There's a few that are coming out in limited release. Disobedience is coming out. That's starring... Rachel McAdams and I forget the other actress's name.
Rachel Weisz.
That's it. Exactly. So that's coming out.
I don't think I've seen any trailers for that.
I have.
It looks good. it's about a female romance.
Yes.
Forbidden romance. It looks good. Hopefully people go see it. It's only limited run right now, so it's only probably a few theaters. And of course, Avengers Infinity War.
Go see it.
Justin, would you suggest this
before it's ruined for you. It's a wild ride, guys. It's crazy.
My plan is to wait a week.
Bad plan.
But see,
I was also gonna wait.
Bad plan.
But see, I have not seen any spoilers yet. I've seen one maybe, but it wasn't a big one. It was about a symbol.
And it's been out a day, so if you continue that probability, that's one.
But you know why? It's because when I was researching some projects, I literally just looked up Infinity War trending topic. So yikes. I invited that you for asked myself. For it. So I think I can avoid it. But yeah, my plan was originally just to wait a week, wait until theaters kind of weren't so busy.
I was supposed to see it next week, but I don't know about that.
Cool.
I'll go see it again anytime.
So yeah. Yep, cool, man. So those are the two. Sweet dog.
Yeah.
Those are the two releases, and I think that basically wraps up our show for today, guys. So as usual, guys, thank you so much for checking out the Cinephiles Extended Cut. And if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and what's the other one there? Google Play. So again, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe to our Mojo Talks YouTube channel for the video version of the Cinephiles Extended Cut.